America weekend.
A soliloquy, Mr. Sabatino.
Yes.
Early last evening, I turned the television off. For all of its poppycock trivia and negative stories and I don't know, mindless commercials. And I just listened with the windows open. It was cool. It was nice. What a cacophony of nature's conversations. The tree frogs chattered back and forth. Crickets chirped. Other tiny creatures whom I have no idea who they were, but I liked it. It was a great sound. Then, all of a sudden, Carl, as if a mute button was pushed, all sound stopped. And I listened intently, and there in the distance was the sound of thunder, muffled thunder. A storm cell was moving the way toward my house. Now, the creatures of the vocal night knew way before I did what was coming. Something was changing their evening dynamic, and they were attuned to the presence of who knows, maybe it's the atmospheric pressure of the storm. But what happened was I vowed to listen more because it was such a treat. And I think more people should do that. Listen to nature.
Oh, I agree.
Just whatever you think you hear. It's wonderful.
I have mentioned before we've discussed this, the morning doves.
Yes.
There is something about when they awaken me, and I have gone to the kitchen window where I have my morning ritual is my cup of coffee, decaf, I might add, and I will just quietly stand there and listen. It's by the sink. I can look out to this large window into our yard area. And you're absolutely correct. We have a lot of birds where we are. Birds talk to each other in the morning.
Oh, they do, don't they?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's a chatter. And the different sounds. I like you, find that to be more than soothing.
But I also find that our busy day-to-day schedules, and I sometimes forget. And it's one of those, when those moments are that you turn everything else off and you just listen. And you have the ability to listen to nature. From where I live, it's a rural area. Where you live, it's
partially rural.
Partially rural.
Yes.
But you still hear
the
birds and the little winged creatures that are all over the place.
It's my aunts used to call it a conversation in nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking to each other. And not in conversation that we would consider conversation. It's a general chatter to the community, if you will. And I think that more people should actually try to do that. And I know they're trying to teach our little ones who take the quote unquote the nature walks,
mm-hmm,
to just listen. By the way, it is also a lost art, listening.
Huh. Well, we've talked about that a dozen times on this broadcast.
Just listen.
But that's just with other people.
Yes.
But this is where you're not answering. You're not asking questions. You're just listening.
Listening. And they are talking to you. It's amazing that they really are. They're saying something. What that may be or what it may not be is debatable, but it's music to my ears as it is to yours. It's music. It's I can listen. Some nights I will listen to it, or in the mornings, and I'll be mesmerized by just standing there with a cup of coffee in hand, which then gets cold, but all I'm doing is just listening to this conversation out there.
Don't you find the same kind of thing can happen in terms of bringing out a piece to your being by listening to a good piece of classical music?
Oh, without question. Oh, Mozart, thank you.
Well, you used to play.
Yeah, I used to play.
So did you play Mozart?
Yes, of course. I ended with Rachmaninoff's Third.
Mm-hmm.
That was my final piece, and then I couldn't anymore. But Mozart and Brahms were essential. But Mozart, to me, his piano concertos are to die for. And they talk to you, and I mentioned this when my teacher has said this to me, and others have said it over the years, if God were to speak, he would speak in Mozart.
Yeah.
That kind of music, which is so extraordinary, not heard much of anymore, believe it or not, unfortunately, on the airwaves. That is extraordinary music.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I mean, I once took a music appreciation course to get, you know, it was one of those LARC credits. You mm-hmm. get a couple of credits that you needed to have to finish up whatever it is yep. you're finishing up. And I learned more from the music appreciation from the professor that was teaching that about how to interpret and the difficulty of putting together a composition.
It's impossible, but they do it. They have this genius to do it, putting together a composition.
Well, there was a book out several years ago called Gödel, Escher, and
yes,
Bach.
Yes,
where it talked about, you know, starting at one point, transgressing all the way up and around to get back to the same point, even though, and you never knew you were out of. You were in a different tone.
The whole idea of a concerto is to start to move along through the various emotions that you want to share and come back to the same point. And that is the essence of an exceptional piece of work. And there are very few, in my opinion, today that can do it, but they did it on a regular basis, and what we call the masters, during the course of the 16th, 17th, and 18th century on a regular basis. This is extraordinary works of art. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely extraordinary. We look at paintings as being art, and they're visual. But these people were creating pictures with sound, emotions with sound. Mozart in particular, my absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm.
His Requiem, to me, is God talking. It's God talking. It was the last piece he wrote to the end of his life, and he was talking to God, in my opinion. That was the end of it. And it is so moving in so many ways. The Kyrie, just, I'm enthralled by it because it's more than just music. It is conversation.
Why don't we get a couple of composers on, Smith Sabatino, and talk about some of this, but in a down-to-earth way so that everybody can understand it.
I mean,
you understand the intricacies and the nuances of classical music.
Composition, as they call it.
I don't. But I love to listen to some of it. Some classical music turns me off.
The genius of classical music is to inspire, to enthrall, to captivate, and to spread, as my teacher used to say, Mrs. Borrell, to spread a message, whatever that message may be, the emotion, the mm-hmm. love, the hate. Because remember, a lot of these pieces were done for political reasons. You know, Tchaikovsky, and these are strong pieces of music.
In the 1812 overture.
Concerto about war, for God's sake, okay? And it's about all those elements of war and the dying of war and the sound of war.
Well, what about Beethoven's Fifth?
Oh.
Now, was that that wasn't a war piece that was written, but Walter Cronkite used it for, what is it? In history about World War II, they always used that as a theme song.
Yes,
you know,
because it was the imperial. He was the imperial composer.
Okay,
And that's the reason why he was. He was the tour of Europe, as they say. Beethoven was not like Mozart. Mozart was not considered much, though. Towards the end of his life, he was encapsulated by and swarmed into the Austrian Empire. But the man was a rogue, if you will. He was a rogue composer. Beethoven was part of the court, okay? He was classical music. Brahms fell into that same category as well. These were men of distinction and class. And so they were writing what I call empire music.
Was Soleri part of that empire?
Yes, he was.
Empire?
Absolutely. And that's the reason why he didn't like Mozart. Because Mozart was a rogue. He created music. He was like rock and roll to popular music in the 50s. Okay? Mm. If I can give our audience an analogy. When rock and roll came along, a lot of people didn't like it, okay? Perry Como as opposed to Elvis Presley, that kind of thing,
yeah.
Okay? But Mozart was in that vein. He was writing notes and music that they had never heard of before. The combination of the compositions of music, operas that they never heard of before. They were enthralling people, the common people, but not people in the court, you see. That was Mozart. But he finally gained that honorarium later on in his life, but not in the beginning. Remember, he started at 4 years old.
Yeah, well, you know, so, and he didn't live a long life.
He did not. He did not.
So,
he lived to his 30s and then he passed away.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. We I can go on with that topic. We have to get them on. Let's do that.
Well, yeah, because I think it's interesting to find the commonality
yes.
of things that we don't really pay a lot of attention to these days.
I'd love to do it. I that's a conversation I can get into.
And then one time we'll get somebody on for the mating habits of armadillos. What do you think?
Kevin, what do you think?
That's it.
I love that idea.
Roland, it's been a show.
It has.
And thank you as always. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in on our banter and our fun. And we're going to be doing it again as we do it here on Smith Sabatino on America Weekend, the Envision Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, until
next time.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.